I heard about a man who came into the services rather late. He asked the usher standing at the back door, "Is the sermon done yet?" The person wisely answered, "The sermon has been preached, but it has not yet been done." You talk about truth and insight. I believe that's exactly correct. It's one thing to preach a sermon. It's another thing to do a sermon. And in the most practical book of the New Testament, the book of James, these verses will highlight our study today. The text was read a few moments ago, and it says, "Therefore lay apart all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. And be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observed and he goes away and he forgets immediately what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer of the law but a doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. This one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." James could have substituted a number of things for keeping a tap rope on the tongue. The verse says that if we are to be careful the way we speak, because it is revelatory of our hearts, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. He could have said, "He who keeps a tight rein on his greed practices pure and undefiled religion and does not deceive himself." He could have substituted a number of other things, like genuineness and heartfelt thanksgiving from an overflow of all the abundance that God has given to him. William Barclay says, "James does well to remind us that which is heard in the holy place must be lived in the marketplace." How true that is. That which we hear in this assembly and in our Bible classes and in our personal study of God's Word must be practiced out in the marketplace as we go out and we visit in our jobs and we participate in whatever line of responsibility that we may have. What religion that makes a difference looks like is outlined in these verses. When I try to summarize these verses, it indicates that real religion is, number one, by godly language. He says a great deal about this in James chapter 3. He said, "If a man does not offend in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle a whole body." James here says in verse 19, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Verse 26, he says, "If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not bridle his own tongue or keep tight reins on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless." Hardly any test of one's religion could be more practical and revealing than this particular one. Are we able to listen? Do we know that when we are told to hold our tongue, we should indeed hold our tongue? Can we control our temper? Usually the temper reveals our tongue, doesn't it? Proverbs 18 and 21 says, The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. If we're going to have religion that makes a difference in our life and a difference in the lives of our families and the difference in the lives of our friends and neighbors, there must be godly language. Do you speak godly language? Do you use profanity? Do you use words that are substitute words for profanity? Or do you just simply use that kind of speech that is pure and undefiled? Paul said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication. He said, no, absolutely none. Let no, there is no time when a Christian, because of his anger, could excuse himself for the kind of language that he uses. There is nothing that could be so humiliating in his life that should ever detract him to such a degree that he will fail to use proper language. We are to use godly language. I'm asking you today to examine your own heart and to see if you indeed use godly language. Secondly, real religion is characterized by godly love. He said religion that our God and Father accepts is pure and faultless. And he says he will look after the orphans and the widows and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. One of the first things that we look at the authenticity of religion, is the relationship that we have toward God. And everything can boil down to two great commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And they said the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Proverbs chapter 65 and verse 68 and verse 5 declares, a father to the fatherless, and God is a fatherless to the fatherless, and a defender of the widows. And whenever I am godly in living, I will be someone that is concerned about the fatherless, those that cannot look after themselves, and I will be concerned about those who are widows. As long as there are widows and orphans in the world, as long as there are homeless people and poor people, as long as there are victims of abuse and crime and illness, then a Christian is called upon to practice his Christianity. Why? Because God is a God who cares. And I am ungodly when I fail to be concerned about those who have genuine needs. He asked a question, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and without daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does not do anything about his physical need, what good is this? What good is my Christianity if I see someone who has a need? They knock on my door. I open the door. I say, I'm really concerned about you. I see that you are in genuine need. But we do not alleviate that need. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Pure religion is characterized by godly love, a love that looks out for the needs of others, those that are hurting and those that need help. But thirdly, our Christianity, genuine Christianity, must be characterized by a godly lifestyle. What James is challenging us is with the point is holiness and purity. He says in verse 21, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent. In verse 27, he says that religion that is from our God is pure and acceptable, and one is to keep himself unspotted from the world. We deceive ourselves and harm our teaching of others when we claim to be Christians and yet we continue to live in a worldly and ungodly way. We are certainly surrounded by moral filth and prevalent evil is around us. We are easily polluted by the things of this world. Far from us, we must never cheat. We must never lie. We must never gamble. We must never get drunk. We must never be promiscuous. We must never defile ourselves with the wrong kind of entertainment. And we must not be selfish in our living. Does this sound easy? Well, the Bible doesn't say that the Christian life is an easy life. It doesn't say the Christian life is a hard life. Jesus says that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And compared to evil, how true that is. When we are living a life of evil and corruption, then of course that brings about all kinds of heartaches and tears to all of us. And so he doesn't say that it is to be evil. The good news is that James not only tells us what we must be, he gives us some insight into how we are to practice this. How to make a religion that makes a difference. How to have that religion that makes a difference. James says in the first place, we must regularly listen to the Word of God. In verse 19, James wrote, "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." The old saying is true indeed. God gave us two ears and only one tongue. And so we should do twice as much listening as we do speaking. Certainly we must learn to listen to others. But more important, we must learn to listen to God. Verse 22, James is talking about the Word of God. James says that we are to listen to God's Word. We must open ourselves up to the hearing of God's voice. We will not be successful in having a religion that makes a difference without a listening heart and listening to the Word of God. But just listening will not cut it, will it? We must do more than that. We must humbly accept the Word of God. Verse 21, James says that we are to humbly accept God's Word. That word that is implanted within us. That word that can make all the difference in the world in our life. James says the word that is planted in us is that which will make a difference. And James is saying that our heart is like a garden. And the word is like seed. I remember that Jesus told the parable of the sower that went out to sow. And he talked about various seeds. And some of that seed fell among thorny ground. Ground that was hard for anything to grow therein. And Jesus, in that particular parable, is reminding us that we need to be humbly obedient to the will of God. Even though the first two steps in having a religion that makes a difference is important, they are incomplete without the final step. And the final thing James says, that we must immediately obey the Word. Hearing the Word, accepting the Word, saying amen to the Word is not sufficient. James humorously illustrates this point with a mirror illustration. He says, "How many of you spend some time looking at a mirror?" I wonder how much time we spent looking at a mirror even today. Hopefully the mirror didn't break. How do we look at ourselves in the mirror? Certainly not to practice making funny faces. That's not what we do when we look in a mirror. We might as a child, but when we're mature, we don't do so. We want to look our best. We want to be sure that our hair is the best. We don't want to make up looking like old Bozo the Clown. And so when we look in the mirror, we see there is some work to be done. We don't just forget about it and walk away. We go to the work, and we get that work that needs to be done, and we give it our immediate attention. And such is the case with the Word of God. It is a mirror that reveals our life and our lives need work. It does us no good to look intently into God's mirror and see that something needs to be addressed and simply walk away and do absolutely nothing about it. But James gives us a wonderful promise. In verse 25, James says, "Whoever looks intently into the perfect law and gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." Religion that is all about listening, but never gets around to doing, is worthless. And if we think otherwise, we're simply deceiving ourselves. And that is what James is telling us to do. I read this past week of a man by the name of Eric Wenhemeyer. He was age 33. He was a phenomenal athlete. He loved to skydive, snow ski, and climb mountains. He is one of the youngest climbers ever to climb all seven of the highest peaks in the world. On May the 25th, 2001, less than 10 years ago, he reached the summit of Mount Everest, and a peak that is 90% of those who try to reach this particular peak never finish. And it has taken the lives since 1953 of almost 200 people who have tried to climb to its height. What makes Eric's accomplishment even more amazing is the fact that Eric is blind. He suffered from a degenerative eye disease that took away his eyesight completely at age 13. All of his mountains have been without the benefit of eyesight. How, you might ask, is it possible for a blind person to climb the highest peaks in the world? If you ask him, he will tell you that he has learned to listen well. He listens to a bell tied to the back of the climber in front of him. He listens to the climbing partners who holler information like, "Death, fall 2 feet to your right." He listens to the sound of his pick jabbing in the ice so as to know whether the footing will be secure or not. For this young man, being a good listener is a matter of life and death. But for Eric, it's not only important that he listen, he also must accept and obey what he hears. We must learn to listen to the Word of God. We must humbly accept and immediately obey it. And if our religion is going to be acceptable to God and really make a difference, it must be characterized by godly language, by godly love, and by godly lifestyle. I'm certain that there are those, perhaps even in this assembly, listening to this lesson, who need to obey God now, but for some reason you have been putting it off. It is our hope and prayer that in humility you will come to the feet of Jesus, listen to His holy word, humble yourself in repentance, and make the good confession that you believe Jesus to be the Son of God, to be immersed in the watery tomb of baptism for the forgiveness of sins, to arise to walk a new life with a new name, with a new goal, and with new purposes, and in that way be able to spend eternity in the presence of God. This is what God would have you to do even today. If there are those present who have at one time done so, but you have wandered away from God, you have need to be restored to your first love. It is our hope and our prayer that you will come now as together we stand and as we sing.